From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Earlier this month, two cases of Mpox were confirmed in Ada County, and just last week, Central District Health confirmed local transmission of the virus, with four additional residents in Ada County and one person in Canyon County being diagnosed with Mpox. Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, is joining us today to talk about this and some other public health issues that we need to be aware of. And remember, if you have a question for Dr. Pate, you can always email us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Dr. Pate, good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gemma.
Okay, so Dr. Pate, let's refresh our memories on what Mpox is.
Right. So this was a worldwide spread of a disease that we typically have only seen outbreaks occur in Africa. And it is a virus that causes pox-like lesions all over the skin. And we've seen outbreaks in Africa, but what happened last May, if my memory is correct, it was last May, that we started seeing this worldwide outbreak that we've never seen before. And it was a different transmission route. It was generally through sexual contact, or at least very close intimate contact. And it began to spread particularly in the groups of men having sex with men, but not exclusively, but that was largely accounting for it. With getting the word out to those populations about precautions to take, as well as to get vaccinated, this was brought under control fairly rapidly. But then we just had a beginning of this month, as you mentioned, we had the first couple of cases this year emerge again here in Idaho. And now we've got four more with local spread, meaning that those people hadn't had a travel history to Africa or someplace where they would have gotten this. They acquired it here. And so it's a reminder that we can't let our guard down. And that those people that are risk, which would be those people that have multiple sexual partners, especially if they have unknown sexual partners, that please go get vaccinated. And if you are obviously concerned about stigma, that kind of thing, contact the local public health district where you can go and get your vaccination.
So, Dr. Pate, how concerned then should, you know, folks in the general public be about this local transmission?
They shouldn't be very concerned if they're not engaged in those kinds of high risk behaviors or caring for people that would be likely to contract Mpox, then they really, there's no level of concern people need to have for that. It's really going to be confined as we know it today. It's going to be confined to those groups who are having those risk factors that get infected.
So I wanted to also talk now about this listeria outbreak that we have seen. This has caused 11 people from coast to coast to get sick. Dr. Pate, we know that at least one person has died, and then these 10 other people have all been hospitalized. And it's around fruit, like peaches and plums. So what do we know? First off, I guess, let me back up. What is listeria? Let's start with that.
Right. So listeria is a bacteria, and it is one that thrives in cold temperatures, including in your refrigerator. And it typically, the way that we interface with it is coming into contact with food that has been contaminated by the bacteria. And it can be a range of foods. You're mentioning this recent outbreak with fruit, but in the past, it's been things like cabbage, coleslaw, hot dogs. One of the notorious things is ice cream. In fact, back, I think, about 2015, Bluebell Ice Cream in Texas had to close for an extended period of time because they had Listeria popping up in the ice cream. And the problem with Listeria is, again, it's fine in those cold environments. So ice cream machines, for example, it can contaminate those. And then this bacteria forms what are called biofilms, which is kind of like, just think about a little piece of saran wrap over the bacteria, if you will, but one that adheres very, very tightly to surfaces. So if you're just doing casual cleaning, you're not going to get that bacteria up. It really has to be specific cleaning that is gets those surfaces abraded and kills the bacteria. But it causes foodborne outbreaks. Fortunately, it's one of the least common bacteria to cause foodborne outbreaks. But when it does occur, it's one of the deadliest. And the special risk that we worry about is to pregnant women, because if they get infected, they can transmit it to their babies with bad outcomes.
And so, Dr. Pate, what we know so far is that this was fruit sold like individually or in bags from like May 1st to November 15th of this year. So and they were sold in big stores, Walmart, Sam's Clubs, Albertsons, you know. So we know it's been found in seven states. I don't think anything has been found here in Idaho. But with that said, what should folks do? Maybe if they have this fruit, because I know a lot of times you cut this stuff up and you freeze it, right, for later on.
Well, that's right. And so you have to keep in mind that in this case, this bacteria loves the cold. So you are not necessarily going to kill it by having it properly refrigerated, and perhaps not even if frozen. So if it is fruit that is in this recall, a specific recall, you should throw that away. And then if it is in your refrigerator or freezer, you want to carefully clean your refrigerator or freezer. So do not eat that. But other fruit you need not be concerned about that wasn't subject to the recall. And of course, it's always a good practice that you wash fruit, wash lettuce, those kinds of things mm-hmm. before you use it, before you ingest it or prepare it. And of course, remember, like we talked in a previous show earlier this year, Gemma, that raw milk would be a risk. Mm-hmm. And so make sure that if you're using, if you're buying cheese, soft cheese that's from unpasteurized milk, raw or unpasteurized milk, those are high risk foods as well.
Dr. Pate, I also want to talk about something seems kind of concerning. This is a rise in pediatric hospital admissions in a number of countries. Can you talk about this? And I don't know if I'm saying this right, but there's a surge in what's called mycoplasma pneumonia.
Very close. Mycoplasma.
Okay. Close.
So we became first alerted and a bit alarmed that we were getting information from China with pictures and videos of hospitals being overrun with children being admitted for respiratory illness. And of course, right now there's a big sensitivity about this. And in fact, it was so prominent that the World Health Organization made inquiries into this. And what they found was that these children are having a variety of respiratory infections. And we're seeing this right now with RSV, influenza. And I would note that the influenza virus this year is particularly hitting young children. The highest age group is those 4 to 9 years old It's really an important idea to get your kids vaccinated against the flu. But what they also saw that was unusual was a large frequency of Mycoplasma pneumonia infections. That is a bacteria that we've known about for decades. It's not rare, but it is a little bit unusual to be causing this kind of a big surge. And it can be treated. But what has happened is because so many people have been taking these Z-Packs or azithromycin and so forth for like every viral infection and so forth, this particular bacteria has developed resistance. In China, that resistance to that antibiotic is between 70 and 95%. And so What there is some signal that perhaps the resistant form is also causing a little bit more severe disease. And that may be why we're seeing so many children hospitalized, because normally Mycoplasma pneumonia cases are not severe, and they cause fever, they cause a lot of coughing, but usually people don't end up hospitalized for that. So one theory is perhaps the resistance. The other is they are finding a number of these kids that are co-infected and have more than one of these viruses or bacteria infecting them at the same time. And it's not just China. We're seeing this occur in France. I just saw earlier reports coming out of Ontario, Canada. So it's not something I've been seeing in the U.S. right as of yet, but it's something to pay attention to. And just we can treat it, but we just need to be, since it is not usual to see a big surge of that right now necessarily, we just need to be testing for that as well as these other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as we saw, Dr. Pate, I mean, we're a global society, right? So it feels like in some ways that it might just be a matter of time until we were to see something like this in the United States. Maybe not as severe, but I would be hard-pressed to think we're not going to see at least a case of this in the U.S. at some point this season.
Well, I totally agree.
So let's talk about flu season here in Idaho, Dr. Pate. Where are we? Have we started to see a rise? I'm assuming folks should be getting their flu shots at this point. We've gotten ours in our house.
Yes. So we still have minimal levels here in Idaho of influenza. However, the influenza activity in the United States has really picked up, particularly in the southern states. Right now, Louisiana and South Carolina have some of the very highest levels, but we're seeing moderate to high levels throughout much of the southern part of the United States. It hasn't really picked up here in Idaho, but that's just a matter of time. And that's not unusual. A lot of times we don't see our peak in influenza cases here in Idaho until January or February. But in answer to your question, it is time to get the flu shots. So if you have not already gotten your flu shot, get your flu shot. You want to be protected for the Christmas holidays, and especially if you're going to be traveling, because even though we don't have a whole lot of activity here in Idaho, you don't have to travel far to get to a state that is having high levels of activity.
And before I let you go, Dr. Pate, I want to get a question in from Tracy, a viewer. She said she's wanted to get the Novavax COVID vaccination for a few weeks, but every place that she's looked, they say they no longer have it. And she says they may not be getting it back in. So her question is Novavax then not available in our entire state?
Well, I have not heard that. I got Novavax, but I got it probably a month ago. And then I just talked to somebody else who got Novavax last week. So my guess is that might be an issue with the particular provider that Tracy went to. So try looking online for CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, a number of those pharmacies I know did have Novavax. As far as I know, they still do. But you should be able to check on their website because you can request it specifically and set up your appointment. But I'll do a little searching too, but I'm not aware that we're out of Novavax.
Okay. Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate you coming on and giving us your expertise. So we will, of course, talk with you next week as well.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.